fellowship here this morning again. Thank you all for taking the time to express your commitment to the fellowship here again this morning through the covenant signing. As to me, it's always a good time to be able to see that expression made just with the writing of your name down. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for the opportunity to be part of a fellowship where we can honor the Lord together. And the purpose of our being together has one purpose, and that is God Almighty, Jesus Christ. And that's the reason that we are together. That's what brings us together. That's what makes us a family here this morning, is that we are part of a bigger family, the body of Christ. And so for this part and this function here at New Covenant, thank you for all that you put into it and to make it happen, to make it a place where we can fellowship together. So last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection, and all of us found a time again of being able to worship the Lord and express our gratitude for what Christ did for us and how that he died for us, how he gave himself for us and was willing to go to the cross and to give his life that we might have life. And all those things they're praiseworthy. And it's a time of giving adoration to the Lord, a time of giving honor to the Lord for what he did. And it's a beautiful time. And then we come to today, it's the Sunday after Easter. And I thought about what is it? What's next? What happened after Easter? And I thought about the commission that Jesus gave for us, and how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do after the resurrection, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, what we're called to do. And I thought I'd call our attention to that this morning. I titled the message, Living the Commission, Living the Commission, which comes after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and Jesus' departure and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We are now commissioned to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Thank you, Leon, for leading our thoughts and showing us how that is done in so many ways that Leon has taken the opportunity to reach out and minister to the lost and dying world. And I know that Leon's not the only one. I know that many of you are doing that in whatever the sphere of influence is that you have in your life, that you are taking the time to live the commission, living it, living the commission. I heard an analogy. Maybe this will help us, and I hope, and this is just an analogy that I heard someone else use as they were trying to describe as to why the world seems to think that whenever you share the gospel message with them, whenever you share something with them that they don't agree with, that you are stuffing it down their throat. Okay? We've all been there. We've experienced people who you have tried to share the message, you've tried to share truth with, and they feel like you're just stuffing it down their throat. And this analogy was given. Say you and I are in my house and we're visiting together, we're having a good time together, and we're sharing together, and whatever we're doing, playing cards or playing games, whatever it might be, and after all of a sudden the dog needs to go out to the yard to do his thing. And so I take the dog and I go out to the backyard, and as I come out into the backyard, I see a poisonous snake there in the yard. So I quickly come back in and shut the door, and I come back to the card table and I continue playing cards. I don't say anything, and you get up and I say, well, where are you going? Well, I just want to go out back and get some fresh air. Okay. You go outside and you step into the yard, and suddenly you're bitten by a poisonous snake. You come running back inside. You tell me that there was a snake in the backyard. You say, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I didn't want to shove it down your throat. I didn't want you to feel like, I needed you to experience it yourself. I didn't want to shove it down your throat. Is that how we have come to handle the gospel message of Jesus Christ? You know that people around you, the people, there are people in your families, there are people that you work with, there are people that you live with, that you rub shoulders with every day, that are going to spend an eternity in hell, which is much worse than a snake bite. And I keep my mouth shut. And I have nothing to offer because I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to offend somebody. So I won't share it. And I thought about our responsibility in life after Easter, after the resurrection, after we have been commissioned. What is it? Are you and I taking the commission that Jesus gave seriously? Are we taking that commission seriously every day with the people that we live with, the people we work with, the people that we're around on a daily basis? How is it with you? And I know that I have a lot of places to improve. I know that I have a lot of opportunities that I can improve. And it doesn't seem like we got this mic on, and for some reason. Is it on? We're catching it? Okay. Seems like when I step away, it gets something's different. Okay, we're on. We're good. One of the things that after Easter, and then I thought about the last three sermons that I shared with you out of Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. The whole thing that if anyone desires to come after me, first of it was what? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then the fourth step of that whole being all in for Jesus and following him, taking up the cross, denying self, taking up the cross and following him, the end is that we are required, we are called to be witnesses of Jesus to the world that is around us. After denying self, taking up the cross and following Jesus comes living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Living in the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was resurrected, when he left, when he went into heaven that day, he told them that they should tarry in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit, till the time that they would be endued with power from on high. And all of us here that have been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have that power from on high living within us, dwelling within us. That gives us the opportunity that we become witnesses. It is not something you put on when you go out in the morning. It is something that is because you are a child of God. And Jesus said we are to go out. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 through 18, it says this, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." He said, I'm sending you out as sheep out into wolves. And does that mean that we're just going to be torn to pieces? No, it means that they will try to tear you. There will be wolves that will try to tear you to pieces. But under the power of the blood of Jesus, you are protected. You are watched out for. You do not go out alone. He didn't send us out alone. He sent us with the power of the Holy Spirit within us to go out into a lost and dying world and share the gospel message with the people there. And I'm going to be reading in the message this morning is from Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading Acts 1 verses 1 through 8, or 1 through 11, which we are all familiar with. Acts chapter 1, and it says the Acts of the Apostles. We just call it Acts, but it is titled the Acts of the Apostles. And it says this in verse 1, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And this is where we find ourselves today. We find ourselves between the place where Jesus ascended into heaven and the place where he's going to come back again. And that is going to happen, friends. That day is going to come when that sky is going to open up and Jesus is going to return and set foot on the earth, and he is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will reign over everything. Hallelujah. That day is coming. And in the meantime, Jesus has asked us to be the hands and feet. He has commissioned us to be the people who will go out with the gospel, that will keep the gospel message going from generation to generation. If it stops with you, it stops with you. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? What about your children's children, your great-grandchildren, if you will? What about them? And I know many of us here this morning have been influenced by the message of the gospel that was shared from generation to generation, and it has been shared with you. You have received the gospel, and you are sitting here born again, washed in the blood today because someone carried the torch for you. Are you willing to do the same this morning? Are you willing to do the same for the people that are coming after you? Are you willing to do the same for those people that are lost and dying, that need to hear the gospel message? Are you willing to do the same for them? One of the things that I want to point out, I'm going to read from Matthew Henry's commentary on this here, on verses 6 through 11. He says this, they were in earnest in asking about that which their master never had directed or encouraged them to seek. Our Lord knew that his ascension and the teaching of the Holy Spirit would soon end their expectations, and therefore only gave them a rebuke. But it is caution to his church in all ages to take heed of a desire for forbidden knowledge. He had given his disciples instruction for the discharge of their duty, both before his death and since his resurrection. And this knowledge is enough for a Christian. It is enough that he has engaged to give believers strength equal to their trials and services, that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they may, in one way or another, be witness for Christ on earth, while in heaven, he manages their concerns with perfect wisdom, truth, and love. Hallelujah. The comfort in those words, the comfort in the words of Jesus saying, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons. So the disciples were still there, even though all this had happened. Jesus was resurrected from dead, and all of a sudden, they have a new hope again, a new zeal. And that is that Jesus is going to set up his kingdom here on earth. And Jesus says to them, that ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. This is not the way it's going to be. In fact, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons when the kingdom is going to happen, when his kingdom is going to be set up. And he told them, as they sought that all they need to worry about is that the Father has that all worked out for them. So my challenge to you, my encouragement to you this morning is that when you go out with the gospel message, it's not your responsibility what the outcome is. That's not your responsibility. We have been commissioned to carry the message. We have been commissioned to share the message. The result of the message is left up to the Father. Amen? Why is it so difficult? Why is it so hard for us to share the message? We are looking, I'm afraid, many times we're looking for results. And we reflect on the results that we got from the last time that we shared the message. And somebody just very rudely rejected it in your face. So what are you going to do the next time? Are you going to go out and share it again? Or are you going to take that as a sign that you're not supposed to? Jesus wants us to follow him and do things his way. He has left his Holy Spirit to guide us into the broken world around us. Therefore, if we want to go all in for Jesus, we must live the commission he has left us with. We must live the commission that he has left us with. And this here reference here is referenced by some as the Great Commission. It's also in Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 to 18, or 18 through 20. Talks about the Great Commission. What people refer to as the Great Commission was when Jesus told the disciples to go out. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus commands the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything as he has commanded you. A commission is simply this. It is that you are aligning yourself someone and you're taking the message of someone else. You're doing a service on their behalf when you are commissioned to do that service. With those things in mind, we understand that Jesus has called us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. And the next step is to continue to go out and bring the light of the gospel to the world. And this is a thing that I think this may be one of the reasons that we find ourselves reluctant at times, or maybe we have quit sharing the gospel message, is that we will encounter hardship. We will encounter hardship. But I take us back again to the message in Matthew 10, chapter 16 and 18. As I read, the verse 18 says, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake. For my sake. Listen to that. But beware, verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. They will whip you in their synagogues. They will beat you. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake. And here's what caught my attention again. As a testimony, you will be brought before governors and kings as a testimony to whom? To them and to the Gentiles. You will be brought before kings and governors. You will be whipped and beaten. And for what reason? As a testimony to them of how you respond. And I think it is so important that when we are living the commission, it's a daily thing. It is what we experience on a daily basis. When we go about our lives living the commission, that you're going to experience times of hardship. You're going to experience times where it's difficult to respond in the proper way. But I believe it is all about response and how we respond. When they beat us, when they bring us before governors, when they bring us before kings, how are you going to respond? Are you going to retaliate? Are you going to stand there with your fist clenched and say, you can't do this to me? Or are you going to say, I am under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm under the sovereign hand of God. And what God has allowed for me to happen, is for a purpose. It's for the bringing of salvation to the governors, the kings, and the Gentiles. Hallelujah. When you're standing in that food, let's bring it closer to home. When you're standing in the grocery line and someone gets angry and irritated with you and they start to spout off at you, what is your first response?
Do you know that that person needs Jesus just like the rest of the world does? That person that is angry with you, they need Jesus just like the rest of the world does. And how we respond will affect the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to that person. Are you able, under the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to be able to respond in a godly fashion? When it seems like you have been ridiculed, it seems like you have been attacked for no reason, for no purpose whatsoever, how are you going to respond? Because it says here that we will be sent out into wolves, as sheep into wolves. And how are we going to respond? Jesus revealed that they would be whipped and beaten, but their ultimate opportunity was to share the gospel message. And how often, I ask, how often is this in the front of our minds? When you're driving down the road, all of a sudden somebody's blowing their horn at you and waving at you and you know, making obscene signs at you and stuff like that. How are you responding? And I ask, are we actively looking for the opportunity to share the gospel message at all times? Are we actively looking for the opportunity to share the gospel message? Are we actively looking for the opportunity to bring the gospel into whatever situation it is that you find yourself in? Whether you're a mother this morning and you're at home and you're living the witness with your children, when your children are grouchy and they're crying and they're fighting all day long, you have the opportunity to bring the gospel message to those children in how you respond to them. Is it difficult? Absolutely. If you're at a place, a workplace, where there's someone that is just antagonizing you, how's your response? How's your response to them? Because it makes the world a difference. Are you looking for the opportunity? Are you looking for the opportunity to share the hope that lies within you? Are you telling them about the snake in the backyard? You know, sometimes we think about witnessing as going out into the street corners and shouting the gospel message to the city streets. While that may have its place, I think more often is that we find ourselves in relationships that we are sharing the gospel message by the life that we live, by the life that we exemplify, by the living out or allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us to the people that we are with, investing in a relationship. Have you thought about that? Investing in a relationship to the point where you are able to share the gospel message with them. Don't think for a second that it won't be difficult. Jesus said one of the most difficult places for you to share, one of the most difficult places to minister is with your own family. And I have found that, not with my immediate family, not with my children, but I found that with my parents, with my siblings. Why is it so difficult? It is hard. It is hard. Satan don't want the message to get out. So there's an overcoming of that their fear or the hardship of it to be able to just go to do it and realize deep down inside in your heart to get a hold of the fact that that person may spend an eternity in hell if you don't share the message with them. God's Spirit lives within us when we decide to follow Jesus. But the role of the Spirit also includes calling to go beyond our comfort zone. In fact, Jesus actually refers to the Spirit as our comforter. So it's the Spirit within us that is our comforter when we get outside of our comfort zone and we actually do share the gospel message. Jesus said to the disciples in verse 4 or verse 5, For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And all of us have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit know exactly what I'm talking about. The day that you received the Holy Spirit, things became new. Life became new. The Word became new. Other people meant more to you than yourself when the coming of the Holy Spirit comes. And I know in one scripture he says, and I was thinking it was this one, but it's not in here, but I don't think so, that Jesus told him to wait in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit. Are you still waiting? Are you still sitting in Jerusalem waiting? When God has empowered each and every one of us who have been born again with the power of His Spirit to make a difference in this world, to live out the commission. And I'm afraid sometimes there are people who are still sitting and waiting, still sitting and waiting, when the Holy Spirit has already been given to empower us to be able to bring the message to a lost and dying world. You know, someone has said that, you know, a ship that's not moving can't be steered. Well, we saw one moving in Maryland there that wasn't able to be steered either, but a ship that's not moving can't be steered. So the ship has to have power, it has to have movement for it to be able to be steered. I think sometimes maybe we're sitting still in the water and we're saying, why doesn't God move me? Why doesn't God bring me opportunity? Why doesn't God give me clarity to where to live this mission, this commission? Start the ship moving. Then He can steer you. One of the other things that stood out to me, and is not in this particular passage of Scripture, but as it relates to living the commission, one of the things that Jesus said was a vital part of living the commission was that we have love for one another. And I find it interesting that as we are commanded, as we are commanded to live out this commission, one of the biggest things that the world will see is that we have love for one another. And I find it interesting. He didn't say by your profound preaching or teaching or knowledge of the Bible. He said it is by your love for one another that men will know that you are my disciples. And love for one another is something that any one of us can do. As we live the commission, as we love each other, we show the world that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ in such a simple way that even a child can do it. The simplicity of bringing the gospel to a lost and dying world. There's a reality that Jesus wants the world to see Him through how we love each other. And we go on, therefore, it says in verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And I think it's so beautiful how Jesus responds in verse 7. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. And He simply leaves it at that. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in His own authority. So the disciples are still looking for something of a material nature of how this here kingdom of God was going to look. And Jesus just threw him a curveball because He was going to leave. And just following this, He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand that. They had heard Him talk about this new kingdom. They had heard Him talk about the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. They had heard him talk about the power of the kingdom, but they were not able to understand that because they had not witnessed or had not experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at that point yet. He says, when this Spirit comes upon you, you will be witnesses. And that's what I want us to catch again this morning, that when this Spirit comes upon you, you will be a witness. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And so we look at that commission and recognize that not one person can do all that. I can't go and be in Jerusalem, be in Judea, be in Samaria, and be at the ends of all the earth at one time. So I believe this was spoken for the sake of all as they go out with the power of the Holy Spirit, wherever you're at, that you would be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of us, God will call to go to other countries, to leave our homes, to leave the comfort of our homes in order to do that. But I'm talking to you today who are living the commission right here in your life, as you work, as you teach, as you raise your children, as you bring honor and glory to God in everything that you do. You can live the commission right here, right now. The certainty of the kingdom was established when Jesus, when he was resurrected from the tomb. He spent 40 days with the disciples, showing himself to them, showing that it was not a myth, it wasn't a dream. It wasn't something that they conjured up, but that he was real and that the kingdom was here. It was now. It was to happen. It was to be. And we're the recipients of that. Jesus didn't slip out a side exit somewhere and leave a note of what we were supposed to do. He came and he directly instructed the disciples, which they passed on to the rest of us down through the times. And again, I ask the question, are you passing this on to your children, to the generations to come? I had to think about my ancestors from my father's side. My great-grandfather was religious to a certain extent, but he did not go to church for 20 years. My grandfather then followed in his steps and took it to another level. My grandfather didn't go to church for 40 years. But then my father came along, and my father went to church faithfully. Every Sunday that he could, he went to church. And the pattern was changed. And I believe that through that, I was able to experience salvation because my dad took a different stand. And maybe your dad took a different stand, and maybe he didn't. Maybe you're the one that needs to change the pattern. Maybe you're the one that needs to carry the torch for the next generation. Maybe you're the one. Maybe it's you. We have account of Philip went to Samaria. Paul went to Ephesus and to Rome, and he carried the message of the gospel even to his death. So the scope of the kingdom was broadened, and it reaches to us today. It comes to us today. There are 5 points that I want to share with you quickly in closing. It says in verse 9, and now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go. We have the promise of his return. We have the promise of heaven. We have the promise of glorious things, and we hold it to ourselves. We don't tell the people about the snake in the yard, and we don't tell people about the glorious, glorious reward for being a child of God, that there is nothing on this earth that can take its place. Think about what the kingdom means, how powerful and transforming it is. Satan is defeated. Death is vanquished. In whatever circumstance you find yourself, the power of the king is present. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, the power of the king is present with you. With you. The glory of creation is restored as the miracles of Christ were anticipated. Forgiveness and new life are available to whomever believes. Forgiveness and new life are available. This is the kingdom. This is the result of Jesus' death and his resurrection. The second thing is that we want to do is to look for signs of this in our own lives. Are there signs of it in our own lives? The kingdom of God. Whenever loneliness overwhelms you and something says within, Christ loves me, he is for me, he is here with me. That is the presence of the kingdom of God. That's the presence of the kingdom of God. When you're lonely and something deep down inside says, I know that God loves me. I know that he is here for me. I know that he is here with me. That's the presence of the kingdom. Whenever you do something wrong and the grace of God floods into your life and gives you the gift of repentance and you say, I'm sorry, and receive anew the forgiveness and the grace of God, that's the presence of the kingdom of God. That's the presence of the kingdom of God. Don't you want to share this with the rest of the world? Third thing, join the company of witnesses. The baptism that Christ promised is yours. It's not just for somebody out there, it's for you. The power is there, and it's now your task to witness. There's no some kind of formulated argument that can be used that will open a stubborn heart and bring the light of the gospel into a life so that a person believes. There's no amount of words, nothing that you can say. It is not some prefabricated cliche of words that will change a person's heart. That's the Spirit's work. That's the Spirit's work. There's no way that you can conjure up the power and the strength on your own. That's the Spirit's work to do that. Witnessing is being there, watching it happen, saying it happened to me. That's your message that you can share to the world. It happened to me. Testify of the transforming power and the grace of God that you've experienced. Those are the things that we have to offer the world. And a fourth one, wait with joy for the victory that is ours and the coming of Christ and the eternal end. Number five, simply remember where you live. Simply remember where you live and who you are. We live in this time. We live in the time of grace. We live in the time of the power of the Spirit dwelling within you. We live in that power. We're living in a land where the witness needs to be carried and can be carried to the ends of the earth. You live in a land where the triumph of Christ is being celebrated by lots of people around the world. We live in the story that happened after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. We're in that part of the story. We have been commissioned to live and to share the gospel message with a lost and dying world. My question, are you living the commission? I want you to leave with that question in your mind. Are you living the commission? The other question, are you telling the people about the snake in the yard? And I leave you with those questions this morning. Are you living the commission? Are you telling people about the snake in the yard? If you're not, they will come to you and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? I have been bitten. Why didn't you tell me that it was there? Father, we thank you this morning for your written word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word. And thank you, Lord, for the promise of life. Thank you, Father, for the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we have, the opportunity that we have to fellowship with you, the opportunity we have to share the gospel message. Lord, I pray that you would lay it upon our hearts, that it would burn within us, that the opportunities that we would see them, Lord, that they would be real to us, and that we'd be able to share the message, that the world would know, and that the message would continue to go forward, and that it would be carried from generation to generation because of what you're accomplishing, working in these hearts here today. Father, we give you praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. Lord, we look forward to that time when we can stand with you throughout eternity, and with all this stuff will make sense. Father, I pray for the strength. No, Lord, we thank you for the strength that you have given us to walk through the times of hardship. We thank you for the strength, for the comfort, the promise of the Holy Spirit that will dwell within us and give us comfort in the times that we are beaten, the times that we are made fun of, and the times when it just seems like we just need to turn to someone who knows and feels our heart. So this morning, Lord, we're so thankful that we can do that with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the chorister to come and lead us in a closing song.